Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. It is the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. And do we want to start with Vladimir Putin? Or do we want to start with the Holocaust? Been watching a little bit of America and the Holocaust on PBS. Only little bits, because it's kind of hard to take. I didn't know that it was possible to make the Holocaust a backdrop for immigration propaganda, pro-illegal immigration propaganda, and anti-conservative slander, basically. Basically, the Holocaust is now just a vehicle for the latest leftist propaganda, which is eerie, creepy, scary, and why when people send me emails now saying, Doug, is it the end of days? I don't just delete them anymore. Now I try to hear them out and find out what they might be. Meanwhile, speaking of Vladimir Putin, there's an election happening this weekend over it, or I guess it happened, or it's happening now in Ukraine, where four regions in the Donbas are voting to join Russia. That's right. These are territories in eastern Ukraine where everyone's ethnically Russian, everyone speaks Russian, and chances are if you let them vote, they would vote to join Russia. Although, who can trust the vote anywhere? People say, well, you can't trust Vladimir Putin with a vote. Well, you can't trust Nancy Pelosi with a vote. Can't trust Barack and Michelle Obama or George Soros or any of the people. So, you know, the pot calling the kettle black there. Anyway, Ukraine is concerned. The government of Ukraine threatened up to 5 years in prison for anyone who votes in the elections. That's because they're so big on democracy there in Ukraine. So we've got that going on. And once the vote is concluded, if the Donbas joins Russia, Putin says any attack on that area by NATO will be an attack on Russia, could trigger a defensive response up to and including nuclear weapons, said Vladimir Putin. Yes. And I think at the end, he said, this is not a bluff. And you don't want to hear Vladimir Putin saying this is not a bluff. Because, I mean, chances are it's a bluff. But you don't want to push a guy into saying this is not a bluff. Not a guy like Vladimir Putin. At least I don't think it's wise at this point. And I don't think Vladimir Putin is Adolf Hitler. I don't think Vladimir Putin is hell-bent on marching across Europe, or even Eastern Europe, for that matter. He just didn't want Ukraine to join NATO, and he's been pretty clear about that ever since the war started 7 years ago. The unprovoked attack, I'm sorry. The invasion, unprovoked, in February that started 7 years ago. American politicians should listen to Vladimir. Don't you understand there are two reasons we have bombs? Come over here and sit down and listen, Mr. Biden. There are two reasons we have bombs. The first reason is so that we won't blow each other up. That's the second reason is so that we can blow each other up. And so please, let's find a way to go with the first and not the second, Mr. Biden. I'm sorry, Mr. Soros, Mr. Obama, Mrs. Obama, I am sorry. Anyway, it's just really weird and creepy and strange, and that Russia's calling up the troops. They're drafting troops, and people are saying, oh, Russia has no control. People are fleeing. And they're leaving Russia. They won't sign up for the draft. Well, did they say that about Lyndon Johnson? Because the same thing happened in the 1970s in the Vietnam War. Anyway, Russia will be losing this war every day in the news right up until the day the Ukrainians surrender or they kill Zelensky or however that all ends. It's very ugly and very scary. I remember as a child, I thought it was ludicrous to assume that we could end the world with nuclear weapons. I remember thinking that. You can't actually end the world with a nuclear exchange. That's ludicrous. But could we significantly disrupt civilization for generations? Yes, we could. And it could be very ugly. And, hopefully everybody's bluffing and there's something else going on that's not nearly as scary as what it seems like might be going on. And here's, speaking of scary, the Greens in Germany, the Green Party, which is the Communist Party, the fascistic Communist Party that dresses themselves up in eco-hysteria, they are the third largest party in the German Bund. So they're the third largest party in the government of Germany, the Communists. And they rule the city of Hanover. They came to power in Hanover with the election of Mayor Belit Onay, who is of Turkish heritage. And so in the city of Hanover, they are trying to pass a law that would bar a third of native Germans from even applying for government jobs or government contracts because they're going to give those to immigrants. So we're actually watching the communists and the Islamists take over Europe democratically, demographically, because all the Islamic mothers, they're having babies, and all the German kids are being brainwashed into being communist green hysterics. And so between the two, you end up losing Germany and Europe. As Germany goes, so goes at least continental Europe. You'll lose it to the communists and the Islamists who will end up butchering each other. And then there's the aforementioned disruption of civilization for generations and without even including Vladimir Putin or a nuclear bomb. So stop it with all of that. But they're not going to stop it. Why? Because they're distracted with just being so wealthy and so affluent and so entertained and so comfortable that they need to create something to hurt themselves. It's a strange thing about human nature. As we get more affluent and more comfortable, for some reason, we seem obsessed with finding time to hurt each other and ourselves, which is really sad, which is why the world needs Jesus Christ. He's the only solution for all of this. He's the only solution. For example, listen to this. Out of New York, the New York Post reports that sharply rising venereal disease rates are prompting U.S. health officials to call for new prevention and treatment efforts against venereal diseases. They call them sexually transmitted diseases. In fact, they call them even nicer than that here in this article. I've got a quote here from, Dr. You gotta be kidding me, says, "It is imperative that we work to rebuild, innovate, and expand STD prevention in the United States." He is a doctor there at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The Post reports that gonorrhea and syphilis have been rising for many, many years. And of course, there's the terrifying outbreak of monkeypox, which the Post reports has further heightened the nation's worsening problems with what? Diseases spread mostly through sex. So it starts out, it was venereal disease, which in itself was a euphemism, just to try to soften the ugliness of what all that is. And now it's sexually transmitted diseases, and now the urinalists at the Post say diseases spread mostly through sex, but there's other ways. you know, mostly. Anyway, I would say to the health officials who want to work to rebuild, innovate, and expand STD prevention, first, stop with the permissive language. Stop softening the ugly reality of venereal disease. Just stop with that. That's just the first step. We've got another quote here. Do we have a quote from, let's see here. This is David Harvey. David Harvey is the executive director of the National Coalition of STD Directors. There's a dream job title. The National Coalition of STD Directors. That doesn't sound right. But anyway, maybe that's a shortened version. Anyway, he says the situation is out of control. That's his quote. Quote, out of control, unquote. Okay. Officials are working on new approaches, such as at-home test kits that will make it easier for people to take steps to prevent spreading their venereal diseases to other people. Testing, testing, testing. So how does an at-home test help you to take steps to prevent spreading your VD to other people? It doesn't. Well, you know, if you know you're positive, then you'll take steps. Okay. If you want to rely on that, I don't think we should rebuild, innovate, or imagine new anything. We should go back to stigmatizing the behavior of sluts and womanizing men, philanderers, we used to call them. And it was shameful to be such a low life. And people who had VD were, ew, gross. Anyway, but now, no, you can't have any of that because, well, we're going to reimagine new strategies. And as long as we give everyone a test, then we can certainly count on everyone to do the right thing. Because, you know, they've been doing that for so long, the right thing. So I say stigmatize and then point people to the aforementioned Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can help people take steps to do the right thing. He's the only one. All right. Now, speaking of taking steps, a Canadian woman, got a COVID booster shot at a drugstore in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, and she only took steps for about 15 minutes, and then she dropped dead on September 14th. The daughter says, we were texting each other. My mom was healthy. She was waiting till she got her booster. And 15 minutes later, she was dead on the sidewalk. Yes, yes. And meanwhile, while that was happening, Canada is quietly lifting its requirement that anyone entering the country must be, quote, fully vaccinated, unquote. That's right. Why are they doing that? Well, number one, listen to this. On September 4th, a fully vaccinated and boosted 24-year-old Canadian TV reporter Matthew Rodrigopoul died unexpectedly at his home of heart problems. Why was it unexpected? Well, he was 24. And Canadians, by the way, were preparing to take part in another round of mass civil disobedience starting on October 1st. Word was getting around. And so the Canadian government has finally been bullied by the people and civil disobedience to at least start taking steps in the right direction toward doing the right thing. Let's see, we've got a survey in the United States from Zogby. They found that 17% of adults who've had at least two COVID shots were diagnosed with a new condition within a few months. 15% of people who had one shot have been diagnosed with something bad. It seems like maybe the shots aren't so good for your immune system. This is from the widespread manslaughter file. Someday we'll look back on this. Of course, it'll have to be everyone alive now will have to be dead. But the truth will come out, and the rush to vaccinate against a nasty cold bug, but not a catastrophic, civilization-threatening cold bug, but a nasty cold bug. The rush to vaccinate in a new and untested way is going to be proven to be not only the biggest mistake in medical history, but the cover-ups and the lies will go down as the greatest episode of mass manslaughter in all of human history. Worldview. I am your host, Doug McBurney. Thank you for sticking with us, and we are going to have to check in with the science really file, where we check in with Mayor Michael Hancock out in Denver, Colorado. Now, you wouldn't think we would be checking in with Mayor Michael Hancock in Denver to check in on anything having anything at all to do with anything to do with science. But not only does it have to do with science, it has to do with basic income. I forget what they call it. Minimum basic income. Communism, basically. Which that you would expect to get from Michael Hancock. And indeed, we go to denvergov.org. I don't even know if that's a real denvergov.org. That sounds fake. This is a website designed to look like it's the actual government, but it's actually a nonprofit scam. And the headline, cash assistance for people experiencing homelessness. That's right. And here's the report from September 12th. To help ensure that episodes of homelessness are rare, brief, and one-time occurrences, the city and county of Denver, Colorado will provide cash assistance to about 140 individuals experiencing homelessness. That's right. The city council has approved a contract for basic income to provide basic income to about 140. They're going to utilize $2 million in American Rescue Plan money. American Rescue Plan. Let's see. Which one was that? So I forget which multi-trillion dollar infusion of artificial money that one was. I think that was 4 or 7 trillion ago, I think. But anyway, so there's a couple million laying around still there in Denver. And Mayor Michael Hancock announced that the Department of Housing Stability, that's HOST for short. Do you get it? Housing Stability HOST. Isn't that cool? They're going to utilize $2 million from the American Rescue Plan to provide cash assistance to 140 women, transgender, and gender nonconforming individuals and families in shelters. Gender nonconforming. Are the families gender nonconforming? How does that work? If you're gender nonconforming, how do you end up as a family? How does that work? Oh, I remember now. Birthing people. That's right. I should have known. So they're going to dole out basic income to 140 freaks, weirdos, creeps, trannies. Draped across park benches in Denver. And the $2 million contract has been signed with the Denver Basic Income Project, which is a nonprofit full of Democrat donors, misfit children, and dimwits loaded down with college debt. You know, there's a lot of college debt that needs to be paid off. It hasn't all been forgiven yet, and so some of it will be paid down, at least through the Denver Basic Income Project. Residents can leverage basic income to resolve their episode of homelessness. Unquote. Or buy liquor and fentanyl. The program will be evaluated by University of Denver's Center for Housing and Homelessness Research using a randomized control trial. The studies and the data, it's a randomized controlled study, you know, like the ones on masks. But then they'll do a randomized control trial to prove that you don't actually have to work. The government can just give you money and that will result in a positive outcome. And we won't be able to question it because there'll be a randomized control trial that will prove the point. And that's pretty smart of the communists. Nobody ever accused the communists of being stupid. They are deviously smart. And so they'll produce the data, and the homeless that die from the fentanyl overdoses with their basic income, they will go to the morgue, and there will be statistical accommodation for some of, there's probably going to be a few negative side effects, but overall the data is going to show all of that. So now we go from there. Where should we go? From Denver. So I left Denver. I left the state of Colorado, and I remember a lot of people told me that you shouldn't leave Colorado and go anywhere where people are insane and crazy and leftist and liberal. And to all my brothers and sisters in Colorado, I understand that Denver is fairly unique, and they are the tip of the spear of the insanity and the insane dive to destroy civilization. They are at the forefront of the murder-suicide coalition against America. I understand that. Denver, it's like Los Angeles or Seattle or Miami or New York. It's the major metropolitan areas where the politicians seem to have been allowed to become the most insane. There's nowhere to run, frankly. There's nowhere to stay. There's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to hide. Eventually, we all have to stand, take a stand against the insanity. And wherever you choose to do that, trust me, there will be plenty of insanity for you to stand against no matter where you find yourself. For example, we go now to Idaho, which a lot of people think is not insane, but they would be incorrect. The government school curriculum there, out in the great state of Idaho, a curriculum endorsed by Planned Parenthood promotes queering education and normalizing the consumption of pornography by students in the government schools. Reducing the risk curriculum. Mm-hmm. Normalizing the consumption of pornography is classified as reducing the risk. So whoever said that should be arrested immediately. But they haven't been arrested. In fact, they have gotten their curriculum into the Idaho public schools. Now, the curriculum promises to teach abstinence, but instead it has an emphasis on gender identity, sexual orientation, and behavior. It also advocates for teaching porn literacy, which involves instruction on... I can't say that. Certainly can't say that. Sexual identity, I guess I can say that, but there's four or five things here I can't even say that are emphasized, you know, with abstinence not seeming to be in the top 10. Abstinence I can say, but they don't say that very much. They say much more about porn literacy. In fact, pornography consumption is a required topic in sex education in Idaho. Tell me the end is not near. Maybe not the end of the world. Maybe not the rapture. Maybe not the Armageddon and all of that. But the end of America. Sarah Diamond, Associate Director of Prevention and Education. Okay, wait a second. You're the Associate Director of Prevention and Education, Sarah? First of all, prevention and education are two different things. And prevention, in fact, is a little too vague. What exactly are you preventing? Are you preventing education? Are you facilitating education on topics that should be prevented? What exactly does that mean, Sarah? Anyway, she's the Associate Director of Prevention and Education at the University of San Diego. And she hopes sex educators avoid stigmatizing porn as bad, but rather help students reflect on their own values about pornography. She suggests that administering porn literacy values and recommended activities is appropriate. Activities wherein students defend ideas like, quote, pornography can be a good way to learn about sex, unquote. Now, defend that idea even if you disagree with it, Sally, Tommy. We just want to expand your ability to debate and be comfortable with your own feelings and values regarding pornography. I pulled this article down from the IndependentSentinel.com, where the author says, normalizing pornography is perverse and damaging to children. Now, he could have just stopped at perverse and damaging, but it is especially perverse and damaging to do it to children. And the author goes on to say the perversion is everywhere. It's in Idaho. It's in San Francisco. It's in Miami. It's in Des Moines. It's at the University of San Diego. And it's in Denver. And it's everywhere. But nowhere does the author say get or keep your children out of the government schools. And nowhere does the author say that these people should be arrested. This is criminal behavior. And it's about time for someone to stand up. Maybe with some form of civil disobedience, and tell these criminally insane perverts that not only do you have to stop, not only should the government stop funding you, not only should you not be allowed to design curricula for the schools, but you should be arrested. In fact, we're calling the cops. And if the cops won't come, and if the courts will not exercise their obligation to prosecute criminally insane perverts who want to molest children, well, folks, somebody's got to stand up and stop them. And I'm not exactly sure how we go about it. Obviously, we want to do it peacefully. We don't want to resort to nuclear weapons, that's for sure, or any kind of weapons. So we would like to find a way to peacefully. Now, it used to be the peaceful way to solve something like this was that you could call the cops. And then the cops would arrest the pervert. And then the pervert would go on trial and be convicted of their perverse criminal behavior. And then they would be punished. That was the peaceful way that this has been handled for to 300 and 400 years on this continent since the Europeans came here. But for some reason, we've lost touch. I mean, I haven't, and I don't think you have. But it appears that the governing officials in charge of administering justice have lost touch with what's right and what's wrong. Forget even what's right and wrong. They've lost touch with what's criminal and what's not. And so I'm going to try to figure out a way to help them to remember. And if you have any ideas, please let me know. We want it to be peaceful, but at some point we're going to have to forcefully stand up and tell these freaks and perverts and creeps and weirdos that they've got to stop.
Heaven, yeah.
We're back here at the Weekly Worldview, and so I was watching the Fox News, Tucker Carlson, doing a report on things like this, and I just want to tell the producers at Tucker Carlson that you don't really need to get into too much detail or show the videos or the pictures of the freaks and the perverts. We all know what that is. There's plenty of visuals all out there everywhere, Tuck. You don't need to get into... And so hopefully someone can... I've been talking about topics like this for about 20 years. And warning that if we don't put a stop to this, eventually this is going to become so destructive, it's going to actually get people killed and it's going to destroy the country. And I think that most of the folks who ended up in production at Fox News thought people like me were crackpots. And now they're documenting it themselves. But with too many pictures, Tucker, we don't need pictures of the teacher who wears the prosthetics. We just don't need to see that. All right. Now, meanwhile, let's go over to, this is a report I pulled down from theblaze.com, which I don't go to the Blaze very often. But I had to go because, well, you've got to give credit where credit is due. Blaze TV's Sarah Gonzalez went on Twitter earlier this month when she found out about that bar in Denton, Texas that planned the all-ages drag event. You remember that? That was advertised in the public as if that's something you can do. And it was open to children, and it was at a bar, and they were going to have drag and all of this, right? So Sarah Gonzalez from Blaze TV goes on Twitter and posts, "Who's coming with me to shut this down?" And so she did. And on September 8th, the mayor sought information regarding the rights of businesses and what precisely the city could regulate. So Sarah starts an internet movement against this particular event. And so the sheriff goes online to find, I'm sorry, not the sheriff, the mayor. I say the sheriff because I assume the sheriff would be involved immediately. That's a mistake. I don't know where the sheriff was. But the mayor goes on and he starts to find out, well, maybe what we can do is let's find out if this meets the definition of a special event under the city code. We may not have the authority to prevent it, but we, as the governing officials responsible for public safety, can refuse to provide security. And that's what ended up happening. The mayor and the police... the sheriff did get involved. Sheriff Tracy Murphy. Hey, sheriff, welcome to the party. There's a bunch of tranny perverts at a bar that want to molest kids. It's nice of you to show up. But he didn't show up to arrest anyone. They simply refused to provide security, and that ensured the cancellation of the event eventually. The group, the pervs, who were going to do this, cited safety concerns when they announced the cancellation. And, should I read the quote from the perverts? So here's the thing about the perverts, is that they have no qualms about publicly stating exactly how they feel and exactly what they want. So the perv said, "Having a safe space that day or any day takes precedence over all else. Our drag brunch has caught a lot of attention from certain political groups who've made it very clear that they aren't happy about this event. To those of you who have forced us to make this decision, shame on you. This is not a win for you." Unquote. So the tranny perverts who wanted to molest the kids at the bar and have the kids walking up with the dollar bills sticking them in the... they're the ones who are saying, shame on you. Am I living in an alternate universe? And the sheriff and the mayor can't figure out how to stop this. Well, maybe we can figure out how it matches the city's code. We can maybe discourage a sheriff from providing security and just go arrest these freaks. Just show up at the bar with a paddy wagon and throw everyone involved in jail. And so no one got arrested. And by the way, I want to thank Sarah Gonzalez at the Blaze TV for her biblical act of courage. Now, the Bible says when there's no men of courage, then the women will lead. And Sarah Gonzalez at least has the courage to do something. Now, she doesn't have the authority to arrest these people, although it used to be in America, all you had to be was a citizen, and you could call the cops and report a crime. But now I'm repeating myself. Anyway, thank you to Sarah, but to Sheriff Tracy Murphy and to the, what's the mayor's name? Do I have the mayor's name here? Shame on you, Sheriff. Shame on you, Mayor, that you left it to a girl on Twitter to force, to at least prevent an event from occurring that was obviously criminal. How embarrassing is this? I mean, as a man, I'm embarrassed, just as a man. I'm embarrassed for men that there weren't men willing to show up at the bar and stop this from happening. Men with badges, by the way, should have shown up. But instead, it's Sarah from Twitter. Well, Sarah from the Blaze TV via Twitter, because everyone's lost their minds and we don't know what's obviously criminal anymore. And a significant plurality, if not the majority of the people in this country, have been bamboozled to the point that they don't know up, down, right, wrong, black, white, left, right. They just don't know anymore. And I'm going to lay it at the feet primarily of the church and the Republican Party and Ted Cruz in that order. I've got a story from Ted Cruz, about Ted Cruz, I'm sorry, from WorldNet Daily. The senator from Texas says that when the Republican Party returns to the majority, we're going to reverse these attacks on religious freedom. That's right. It's my intention to continue leading the fight to defend both religious liberty and our rights to bodily autonomy. Uh-huh. There needs to be a serious and thorough house cleaning. Mm-hmm. That's right. A house cleaning at bureaucracies like the FBI and the Department of Justice and more. And I'm just the man to do it. I expect serious oversight. When we have the next Republican president, I very much hope that he or she will remove the corrupted and politicized career senior leadership that has attacked our religious freedoms. So Ted Cruz is bloviating about religious liberties when psycho, criminally insane perverts are luring kids to a bar to watch a drag show. That has nothing to do with religious liberties, Ted. And by the way, Ted's in Texas. That's where the bar and the girl from Blaze. Ted Cruz should have showed up. You know, you show up with the sheriff. Ted is, but no, he's more interested in securing the majority for the Republicans, so that they can continue. Their bamboozlery. In fact, let's go to the headline marquee event in the mass bamboozlement from the politics file. The House Republicans have laid out their agenda. I put in the word fake. Their fake agenda. fake, phony, fraud agenda. If they win in November, here's what House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, one of the most obviously phony human beings to ever receive Botox and veneers, is Kevin McCarthy, a Republican from California who is something in the Republican Party. I think he was voted best hair and teeth. Most attractive glabella, and he achieved leadership. He held a town hall this past week where he announced, do they have a name for their plan? I think they had a name for it, but since I didn't buy it, I don't think I wrote down the name of it. I mean, you remember Newt Gingrich had the contract with America. That was pithy and easy to remember. They have a plan, but I don't have the name of it. I apologize to Mr. McCarthy for not properly advertising his plan to, let's just call it the Save America plan. Let's see, the plan follows the outline of, well, let's just go through the bullet points that that the ever-attractive Mr. McCarthy announced. The folks over here at Not the Bee, notthebee.com, this is a new one on me. Who's Not the Bee? I think they report the real news, but it's so ridiculous that they want you to know this is not the Babylon Bee. And so they name their website notthebee.com. Like, you're not going to believe this. This is not the bee. And then although I don't know, but this is a new one. The bullet points from Kevin McCarthy's plan to save America starts with number one, fight inflation, lower the cost of living, lower taxes. That's right. Start with the money. Kevin McCarthy is no dummy. He knows the number one concern for everyone is really the money, and that's at the root of all kinds of evil. So that's the first bullet point. Fight inflation, lower the cost, lower taxes, more money for everybody. And he announced that his plan, maybe he didn't announce, this might be the journalists at Not the Bee. They say that Mr. McCarthy's plan is similar to the focus of former House Speaker Newt Gingrich's Contract for America. He's the phony who bamboozled gullible rednecks and evangelicals a generation ago, and I know because I was one of them. I bought his book. I thought we could renew America via the Republican Party and the tax code. I was incorrect about that, and I have since moved on. Let's see. McCarthy's plan to save America says they're going to move supply chains away from China. He puts that in as the second bullet point because if you can get a bald-faced lie right in there right away and then keep going, then you can pretty much say whatever you want. So move supply chains away from China. Yeah, right. Number three bullet point, we're going to secure the border. Secure the border. Why? Why did they say that? Because after two bald-faced lies, now you can pretty much say anything you want to anyone, and everyone is sufficiently bamboozled that they just go along. The money starts rolling in, and the votes start rolling in. Number four bullet point in the Republicans' plan to save America, the new contract with America, establish a select committee on China. on China? I don't know what that means. Establish, let's see, fifth bullet point here. Establish a citizen's bill of rights to protect women's sports from transgender ideology and curb big tech. Okay. Number six bullet point, uphold constitutional freedoms. Listen, Mr. McCarthy, by saying that, you've basically conceded that you're going to continue the debate over freedoms and rights that were supposed to have been settled 250 years ago. Are you going to continue that debate, Mr. McCarthy? Please, could we stop with that? We already had the Bill of Rights. That was quite some time ago. Finally, number seven bullet point, push for voter ID and accurate voter rolls with fair observers access to polling sites. What is that? You're going to federalize the elections like the Democrats want? Is that what you're saying, Mr. McCarthy? How much Botox was in that last shot? Mr. McCarthy, we're all familiar with the fact that Botox interrupts chemical signaling for muscle function, and apparently it has some effect on brain function. But not our brain, Mr. McCarthy. I mean, if you think you can pass this off. Oh, finally, I don't want to sell short the McCarthy agenda. about. Their first order of business, he says, will be to repeal the 87,000 new IRS agents, some of whom are supposed to be armed. We're going to repeal that. Why does he make that the final point? Because if you end with a bald-faced lie, you're more likely to have sold people on the other bald-faced lies that you've just bamboozled them with. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been watching politics for 30 years, and no Republican has ever eliminated government bureaucracies and jobs created by the Democrats. They simply shift and move and employ their friends and relatives and dim-witted nephews and donors' mistresses instead of the Democrats. So the 87,000 new IRS agents, they'll just become Republican. And so we'll see. Actually, that brings me to, I had made a prediction at, when the election was stolen in 2020, right in broad daylight. I mean, in the middle of the night, but in the end, in broad daylight, in front of God and everybody, they stole the election right in front of us. I made the prediction that there will never be another legitimate election. And I'm thinking possibly maybe that the Democrats are concerned that they might overplay their hands. If they don't get a shellacking in the next election, it could become too obvious that we've been infiltrated and conquered by the Chinese and the communists and the leftists and the maniacs and the queers and the weirdos and the freaks. And so it's possible that they let the Republicans win because, after all, they've got a lot of friends in the Republican Party. And so they may allow some legitimate elections. That's if we get to November without a nuclear exchange, which I think they'd be okay with that as well. I mean, unless it lands on them, then they would have a problem with it. But so let's hope it doesn't land on any of us. Let's see now. Now we go from politics to justice, which one is directly responsible for the other. The lack of wisdom and righteousness in our politicians leads us to, well, to where we no longer have a justice system. We now have just a system, and we're in the just a system file, where the Free Beacon reports that back in May, Kevin Alexander Lemus was released from jail for the second time in a month. Lemus, let's see, why was he was released without bail in April on gun and drug charges. In May, he was released for drug possession and having violated the order from the previous release. And 4 months later, he shot and killed Darlan Ariel Diaz Flores. Murdered him. I mean, I know he murdered him, even though it's hard to tell from this reading this article over at the Free Beacon. The journalist there says, Lemus confessed to second-degree murder for the shooting of Darlan Ariel Diaz Fernandez. So do you notice the journalist's sleight of hand there? Instead of saying Lemus confessed to murdering Darlan Ariel Diaz Flores, no, Lemus confessed to second-degree murder for the shooting of. Just a little urinalist sleight of hand. A little bit more of that slight shift in the language that started, 25 years ago when a few of us noticed that, why are they saying gender instead of sex? I noticed that. I remember I used to listen to, who was the guy I listened to on the radio? The Nixon guy. G. Gordon Liddy. G. Gordon Liddy used to make fun of the reporters because they started replacing the word sex with gender. And it was driving him crazy, and I noticed it, and I was like, why are they doing this? Little did we know, there was a plan. A diabolical, evil, wicked, corrupt, perverted plan behind the whole thing. And it all starts with the sleight of hand, with the language, the sleight of tongue, so to speak. The sleight of intellect. Just a little bend here and a twist there. Not even a full twist, just a half a twist here and there. He confessed to the murder. He confessed to murder for the shooting of. So anyway, so the article goes on to lament the fact that the district attorney, Steve Descano, has released or drop charges on four offenders just this year who have gone on to murder people. So this DA should be arrested. George Soros donated about $500,000 to this particular DA's campaign in his nationwide push to elect progressive prosecutors. Why even give them that? These are criminal prosecutors. This guy's got blood on his hands 4 or 5 times now. This was all part of George Soros' effort to reduce incarceration, which I'm on board for that. I agree that we need to reduce incarceration. And let's start by incarcerating Steve Descano and then putting him on trial for accessory to murder. And then, let's just say I wouldn't lock him up after that. There wouldn't be an incarceration issue. That's for sure. And now we move from there. Now that's, where was this? That was in, did I say what state that was in? Do I have it here? Virginia. That's Virginia. The founding state of America. That's where all the brains and the founding fathers who founded America, they were all in or involved in Virginia. It's where the country started, and it's where it is now circling the drain right there. And it's because, Jesus Christ. It's because we need Jesus Christ, and none of these people know Jesus Christ. And so because they don't know him, they're going to end up killing themselves and other people. And so it's time we started reminding them more and more that that's what we need. And if they accuse us of wanting to create a theocracy, well, they can go ahead and make all their accusations. But eventually people are going to become so terrified at being murdered just trying to go to the grocery store that they might not be willing to think about a theocracy or a revival or simply a return to sanity, but they will instead elect a tyrant who will destroy the world. And so a theocracy is not that scary. A theocracy that is grounded in biblical godly principles is a lot less scary than the next secular tyrant who promises to lower your taxes and protect your religious liberties and close the border. But now we go to the justice file, Montgomery, Alabama. Alabama has a new method of execution called nitrogen hypoxia, and they were getting ready to use it this week. And here's how the Associated Press reports nitrogen hypoxia. It's supposed to cause death by replacing oxygen with nitrogen. Now, I'm not a scientist, but trust me, that works. If you replace all of someone's oxygen with nitrogen, it will cause death. I don't even think you have to be a scientist to figure that out. Anyway, they have this new method, and the disclosure of this new method came up during a court hearings over the past few weeks, because a certain murderer named Alan Eugene Miller, he had filed to block his execution by lethal injection because he says he filed paperwork to get nitrogen hypoxia, but the prison staff lost the paperwork. And so he doesn't want to get lethal injection now. He wants his nitrogen hypoxia. And so the odds are, in my understanding, or my experience, that there's a pretty good chance that the prison staff actually lost the paperwork of the murderer. And so he said, I want this nitrogen hypoxia. They say, we don't have the paperwork. We're going to give you the lethal injection. And so what happens? A federal judge now has prohibited Alabama from executing Alan Eugene Miller, because nobody can figure out what to do, because they're all just hapless. Miller was a truck driver convicted in workplace shootings that killed Lee Holbrook, Scott Yancey, and Terry Jarvis. He was actually convicted of murdering Lee Holbrook, Scott Yancey, and Terry Jarvis in Birmingham back in 1999. But the urinalist here at the Associated Press says he was convicted in workplace shootings that killed. Just a little slight, just a half a turn. That's all. Don't even pay attention. Don't even pay attention, folks. Everything's going to be fine. So now Alan Eugene Miller, a murderer, is alive, at least as we go out today. They are trying to execute him. They tried on a Friday, and they couldn't because they ran out of time. Because how long does it take to kill a guy, for crying out loud? Once you've decided to kill him and he's in handcuffs, I mean, you can't get it done by midnight? I mean, you should probably be fired, for crying out loud. Anyway, listen to what the judge found. The judge found that Alan Eugene Miller, convicted murderer, would, quote, likely suffer irreparable injury because he will be deprived of the ability to die by the method he chose. Instead, he'll be forced to die by a method which he asserts will be painful. Can't have that. And so how does a guy that you're about to kill, by the way, a subhuman animal murderer convicted of murdering three people, how's he going to suffer irreparable injury? I think the whole point is for him to suffer irreparable injury. Maybe I'm missing something. I'm not a lawyer, and I'm not not involved in the criminal justice apparatus. So I obviously don't have expertise in these areas, or I would know better, I assume. Now, from there, we go to Tucson, Arizona, where the first in a pair of trials for a man accused in the kidnappings and killings of two Tucson girls that started this past week. He was arrested 4 years ago, and the trial started just this past week. Christopher Matthew Clemens, 40 years old, is charged with first-degree murder in the deaths of Isabel Solis, 6 years old, and Maribel Gonzalez, 13 years old. Why do authorities think Christopher Matthew Clemens is guilty? Well, in 2017, he led investigators to Isabel's remains. And he did that so he could cut a deal on another charge. And then after that, DNA evidence from Maribel's body linked him to murdering her as well. This is from the Guilty as Sin file. Clemens is accused of taking Isabel from a Midtown home as her family slept. 2 years later, he was out of jail on bail in a burglary case, and he killed Maribel, who had left her home to visit a friend on a summer's day. Clemens is a convicted sex offender who has a criminal history spanning more than two decades in four states. So there's probably at least three or four people in the justice apparatus who should go on trial with Clemens for what has occurred. Anyway, the trial's going on. It went on all last week. It'll continue this coming week. And as he has every day, Clemens entered the courtroom in a surgical mask. Because now, for the foreseeable future, everyone who's guilty of as sin will be allowed to wear a mask in court and cover their face. Which, that just strikes me as a loss for civilization. The murderer should be known by his face. He should have to show his face in public when he is convicted. But now, no. In fact, now that's going to be a new litmus test. How do you know they're guilty if they wear a mask in court? And if they lead authorities to the body, that's another indication. Oh, and the DNA evidence. How does a trial go on for 2 weeks? How come the trial doesn't start for 4 years? What's going on? It's as if the adults in charge of the government are children, insane children. And that's scary, folks. It's scary and I don't like it. And I'm doing what I can about it in my little world, in my little circle, and I encourage you to do the same. Stand up and say what's right and what's true. And don't be afraid and don't be cowed by the psychotic perverts. So now let's go back to Tucson, where we have Maximino Matascrans, 24 years old. He had been in prison since 2020 after he was convicted for what the courts call sexual contact with a minor. That's raping a child. That would be kind of mean to say it that way, I guess. But and we certainly don't want to be mean to Maximo Matiskrantzis. So I think Nancy Pelosi would classify him as a child of God. So he raped a child, and he ended up in the Pima County Jail. Is it prison? He ended up in state prison in Tucson. Well, he died this past Sunday after Tucson prison staff found him in his cell with a piece of cloth tied around his neck. So it seems like the inmates there at the Tucson State Prison had some understanding of right and wrong and justice. Although we don't know, because Hillary Clinton was asked about it. She says it looks like a suicide.
No way.
So, no, that's, I made that up. That was just a joke. And a pretty dark one at that, so I wouldn't expect you to laugh or anything like that. Now, we go from there to the end of the world file, where the Georgia Recorder reports that there's a wave of new state-level abortion restrictions being written. And in Georgia, they have written a so-called personhood provision that accompanied the six-week ban on child killing. So in Georgia, the pro-life industry enacted a ban on killing children if they're over 6 weeks old. And they call that a victory. So why is this in the end of the world file? Now that the pro-life industry got their wish of overturning Roe, I'm convinced that not only will there never again be an attempt to make a law that just makes abortion illegal. So we should try to make abortion, we should try to make child killing illegal because it's the murder of a person, a human person. But the pro-life industry has bamboozled Americans into thinking we can be pro-personhood and then we can restrict abortion and we can be reasonable about it, and that's where we are. And now, not only has the pro-life industry gotten their wish and overturned Roe, they've also founded a burgeoning new industry for lawyers and nonprofit employees to regulate common sense regulation of child killing. There'll be a whole industry around writing the rules and introducing them in the legislation and getting the right people elected in the fundraising, so that the people in the pro-life industry retiring now on their fat pensions because they got Roe overturned, now they get to pass the business on to the kids and the nephews. And for the next 50 years, now they can write the rules on how we kill people, how we kill persons in legal parlance. One such industry professional is Cole Muzio. He is president of the of an organization called Frontline Policy Action, and he helped to promote rights, legislate the new bill, the new law. It's a law now. And one thing they wrote into the law is that now, as soon as a woman becomes pregnant, she can begin claiming that child on her taxes as a dependent. Yeah, that's right. Speaking at a pro-life industry summit in Atlanta, pro-life industry hack Cole Muzio said such provisions are an important public relations component for the pro-life movement. He said, quote, "That's an important thing as you're thinking about messaging. We truly value life. The idea that we would give pregnant women tax relief, well, the Democrats, they just wanted to rip that provision out of this bill. We need to make sure people know and are aware that we are the ones who are authentically pro-life and pro-woman. How do we do that? We write into the bill that if you don't do the morally acceptable thing," Now, this is me speaking. I'm sorry. I came right out of that. I shouldn't do that. I don't want you to think Muzio said this, because he's not this bright. But basically, what the pro-life industry has done is they've told women in Georgia, is that right? Am I in Georgia? Yes, in Georgia. What the pro-life industry has told women in Georgia in the law is that if you don't do the morally acceptable thing and murder the child before he's 6 weeks old, we want you to get a tax break. And those Democrats, they don't want you to get a tax break. Now, the Democrats are okay with you killing your child before he's 6 weeks old or after he's 6 weeks old. We're only good with it up to 6 weeks because we are authentically pro-life and pro-woman, and we value human life. And so that position is now the degraded position of the pro-life movement. The pro-life movement doesn't exist as a pro-life movement anymore. It's now an industry that will create laws and rules on exactly how to murder children. And that's the end of the world. I mean, at least for an awful lot more children. And so it doesn't really matter if there are fewer abortions because we put restrictions in. That's not the measure of success. What is it's not just the body count. This isn't a utilitarian battle. This is a battle for right and wrong. And once society and the Christians and the conservatives concede that there has to be some common sense regulation of the murder of innocent children, then we've lost. It's the end of the world. It should be the end of the world for the pro-life movement. It is in my world. All right, finally we go to Florida, where Governor Ron DeSantis activated the Florida National Guard to provide assistance to the state's corrections officers there in the prisons. They're losing a lot of employees due to all kinds of insanity. And so DeSantis activated the National Guard. According to the Florida Constitution, National Guardsmen can be used to, quote, to preserve the public peace and execute the laws of the state. According to state statute, guardsmen can be used to, quote, enhance domestic security and respond to any need for emergency aid to civil authorities. And finally, to provide extraordinary support to law enforcement upon request. And so DeSantis has activated them. I can hear Alex Jones right now. Can't you people see that the Florida Constitution basically gives the National Guard the right to establish martial law? The globalist elites have been setting us up by writing shadowy laws they can take advantage of in a made-up crisis. Take away our freedoms. And that's not the case, Mr. Jones. Calm down. No, God established the governing authorities to have judicial and even martial authority. It wasn't the globalists and the Illuminati or Bill Gates or George Soros setting us all up. It's merely the authority structure established by God being misused by cowardly, wicked men. And it's not that Alex Jones had it all figured out all along. It's just that that's always been fairly obvious. That's all. And what we need is godly men. And for that, we need Jesus Christ. He's our only hope, and I recommend to you him as your only hope to prevent the end of, well, at least the end of your world. That's it for the Weekly Worldview this week. Ladies and gentlemen, should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.